And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I want to pick up again where we left off last week, although I am going to cover one or two things maybe that we covered before, or at least review, but I think it's important. So let's go back to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Praise God. First Kings, the 17th chapter. And just in case you was not here or did not hear before, I'm just going to pick up at verse 1 and just read a few verses. And beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from my New King James Bible, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Hallelujah. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Wow. Now, well, let me read verse 13. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. Now, one thing I want to say about this widow. Now, first of all, God told Elijah, I have commanded a widow there to take care of you, right? Amen. She didn't know she had been commanded.
That's right.
She had a call of God to bless the man of God, and she didn't even know about it. But as she said, she was gathering sticks, a couple of sticks, whatever, so that she could prepare what she had. And then she said, what? We're going to die. We're going to die. Well, that tells me right off the bat that this lady had lost hope. She was preparing for death and not life. But now we have to ask ourselves, how does that relate to me today, or to us today? How many of you, or maybe those that are watching, you have lost, you've lost hope, you've given up. You've given up on God. Maybe you've tried this, you've tried that, and nothing seems to work. So you've given up. Like this lady, she said, I'm going to prepare what I have left, and my son and I are going to eat it, and both of us are going to starve to death. Well, that's no way to live. But that was her thinking. That wasn't God's thinking. Because God told Elijah, I have commanded a widow to take care of you, to feed you, to help you. None of us should ever, and you've heard me say this many, many times, but none of us should ever want to leave this earth without fulfilling our God-given purpose. And it was the will of God that this woman be a blessing to Elijah. God said so. Amen. Who is it that God wants you to be a blessing to? Right, listen, right in the middle of your storm, your hard times, God still has a plan for your life. Glory to God. Now, I'm thinking about Jeremiah as he lamented over the ruins of Jerusalem, and everything looked so hopeless to him. Matter of fact, turn with me if you would, and we're coming back to Kings, 1 Kings, so hold your place there, but go with me to the book of Lamentations, 3rd chapter. Lamentations, the 3rd chapter. And after seeing all that, all the negative, all the hopelessness, this is what is written, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I tell you what, folks, when you're in your worst time, you need to remember God's goodness. Amen. You need to remember God's faithfulness. Are you hearing me real good? You need to remember God's faithfulness. In your darkest hour, You need to remember God's faithfulness. Because let me tell you, listen to me, grab a hold of this. Your circumstances may have changed, but God has not changed. Oh, I think I need to say that again. Your circumstances may have changed, but God has not changed. He said, I am God and I change not. He's the same God that you praised in your good times that is right there in your midnight. Same God. So verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind. Sometimes we just need to take a look back, not at the negative, but back at God's faithfulness. Back at God's promises. Therefore, I have hope. Listen at this, verse 20 through 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Aren't you glad that he has mercy on us? Even when we're in the fix that we're in because of our own doing, God is still a God of mercy if we'll come back to him. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. Because his compassions, what? Fail not. His compassion never fails. Hallelujah. And I like this. Listen, verse 23. They are what? New every morning. Every morning. Every morning. And we should shout also, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. God has not changed. Your circumstances may have changed. Situations around you may have changed. God has not changed. He's the same God before your situation, as he is in the middle of your situation, and he'll be the same God after your situation. Verse 23 again, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Did y'all grab a hold of that? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. The Lord. And he goes on to say, therefore, I hope in him. Hallelujah. Don't gather a few sticks and get ready to die. But shout, the Lord is my portion. I hope in him. Glory to God. You still with me? Now look at verse 25. The Lord is. Everybody say the Lord is.
The Lord is.
Now, it does not say the Lord's going to be. But what it does say, the Lord is. The Lord is good 10,000 years ago. The Lord is good today. And the Lord is good 10,000 years in the future.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Verse 25 again. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who does what? Seek him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly. Get your mind quiet. Saturate yourself. And wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Things were looking pretty grim, dark for Jeremiah. But he remembered the Lord. And he said, therefore, have I hope. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to take you to another situation. Let's read in the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts, the 27th chapter. Let me get there. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because of our own doing. Or just plain being hard-headed. How many of you know we can be hard-headed sometimes? Of course, now, when I was growing up, when I was a child, my parents told me a hard head equals a soft backside. My parents whipped me. They whipped me, they spanked me, and they loved me. Didn't kill me. Made me a better person.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
Amen. All right, you have Acts chapter 27. Paul is on the ship here, and I'm sure you're familiar with the story. And he's sailing, he's on his way to Rome, and they ran into a terrible, terrible storm that lasted a while. And I believe it, I myself, because of the length of time it lasted, I believe it was a hurricane or typhoon. Whatever. But in Acts, the 27th chapter, I won't read the whole thing, but let's look at verse. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll pick it up at verse 13. We'll begin right there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose and called, y'all forgive me, I'm talking in tongues, Euroclydon. Now don't look down on me, can you pronounce it? And you probably can. Okay. Verse 15. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, they let her drive. In other words, wherever the wind took the ship. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Sardis sands. They struck sail and so were driven. And because they were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. And when, listen to this, and when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, read the rest of that verse. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood, listen to this, I love this. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Remember I said earlier, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we're hard-headed. Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for thou will, oh, I like this, for there will be no loss of life among you. Hallelujah. Oh man, it's good to have a man or woman of God on board with you. Somebody that know how to get in touch with God. He goes on to say, but only of the ship. For there stood, listen to this, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve. How many of you know your God? Hallelujah. How many of you know your Lord? His name is Jesus. Glory to God. In other words, Paul's letting them listen. Fellows, you know, I know my God. Your God can't help you, but I know my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 23 again. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. Hallelujah. Isn't that what Elijah told the widow? Huh? Isn't that what he told the widow? Do not be afraid. All through the word of God, we're told, fear not, fear not, fear not. There's a fear not for every day of the year. So he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. I tell you what, when you don't know God, it's good to be with somebody who do. Amen. Now, ain't nothing like having him for yourself, though. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So he said, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And then he went on to give them further instructions. And if you read on, you'll find out everything happened exactly the way it was told to Paul. But he told them, he said, listen, don't fear. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're in the middle of a storm. But trust God. Trust God. And I want to tell you right now, if you're in the middle of a storm and you don't know God, I encourage you right now to give your life to Him, to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And He wants you to, listen to me, He wants you to live a life without fear, not giving up on life. Hallelujah. Now let's quickly go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. She had another storm, didn't she? She did. Look at verse 17. 1 Kings now, 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Now see, this, you know, this lady has some issues. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Now she acknowledged that he was a man of God. She said, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin in remembrance and to kill my son? Too many people believe that God's out to get them. God's not out to get you. He's out to save you. If you don't know him, he wants you to be, he wants you to come to Jesus. If you do know him, he wants you to know that he's on your side. Amen. So I don't know what this woman's sin was. But now she's blaming the preacher because her son died. Well, that's another sermon for another time. We won't go there tonight. But let's look at the end of the matter. And he said to her, give me your son. And he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Hallelujah. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this, listen at this, Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Glory be to God. God had ordained that this woman be a blessing to the man of God, because he sent Elijah to her. But this woman had her own problems. She thought she was going to die. God worked a miracle. She didn't die. But then her son did die. And guess what? There was another miracle after the miracle. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how many miracles you need, God will work a miracle after miracle after miracle to those who will believe. Those who will believe. Those who will believe him. Those who will put their trust in him. Those who will hope in him. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope, I like to say it this way, hope is confident expectation of good. I'm not looking for the bad. I'm looking for God's blessing to operate in my life. Yes, I live in the world, just like you live in the world. But Jesus said, we are in this world, but what, guess what? We are not of this world. So when hard times come, whether it's physical, financial, or whatever it may be, we are to trust God and trust his word and place our hope and our faith in him. Amen. Keeping his praise on our lips at all times. Are you still here? God is good, folks. I said, God is good. And it's not just a cliche, it's the truth. So what should I be doing, Pastor? You start blessing the name of the Lord. Allow that word to come out of your mouth. His promise is coming out of your mouth. And even if you don't feel like it, you continue to praise him. You continue to bless him. Because you have to understand something. Your body, he created. Matter of fact, your spirit, your soul, and your body was created by God. Hallelujah. And here's what God does. He takes nothing and makes something out of it. When God created the heavens and the earth, the universe, all that, he spoke it. And there it was. Let there be light. Light came. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to know God is on my side. I just got to make sure I stay on his side. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for being so good to us, Father. Even when we met.